Well, welcome to Crane Christian Church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Matthew 20. And God is good. We've had some interesting developments this week that have been rough. And but God has been faithful. God is faithful. And He is going to reflect that faithfulness today in His Word. Matthew 20 and 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from Him. We're talking about Jesus. She's coming to Jesus. And He said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said to Him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand, the other on your left, in your kingdom." Man, that's something, man. But Jesus answered and said, "You don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" And they said to Him, "We're able." So He said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give, but it is for those whom is prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation. It made them mad, because you know, they said, "I should have thought of that." No, I don't know that. I was not there. Against the two brothers. But Jesus called them to Himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be among you." Do y'all see that part? We're coming back. This is in the red. Okay. That's Jesus talking. "But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." As I was looking at this, I want to call this morning's service, this sermon, Servants and Soldiers. Because I want to tell you, that's not our nature. And as I look at this again, and I've looked at it before, and looked at servant leadership, I've studied servant leadership, but as I looked at this again, I was not condemned, but I was really convicted. How's that? Okay. And the first thing that struck me is these guys' mom is coming to them, okay? Which is embarrassing, you know. My kids didn't want me to even drive in front of the school and get out of, you know, probably because of what I drove, but anyway. But, you know, that's embarrassing. But here's the deal. This lady's name, when you look it up, is Salome, which comes from the word shalom, which means peace. I want to tell you that we think that if we get what we want, it's going to give us peace. And when I saw that, just kind of looking under the edge of it for a minute, just pulling back the curtain, we think if we get what we want, it's going to give us peace. I want to tell you, if I'm miserable here and I have I win a free trip to Hawaii, or as my mom used to say, Har Warrior. If you go to Har Warrior and you're miserable here, you're probably going to be miserable in Har Warrior. You hear what I'm saying? Because you take it with you. No matter where I go, I'm there. And we're looking for something, me included, if I just had higher handlebars and lighter pipes. If these people over here would just do what I want them to do, if this what would work, I'm going to tell you something. Sitting at the right and left hand of Him, when He says these words, it always brings me pause. He says, are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm being baptized with? You know that was the cross, right? Are you able to go through what I you want to do? You want to do this? And of course they weren't there. So, but I don't think she had any idea what she was signing them up for. Does that make sense? We're talking about a cross. We're talking about this cup. Remember, this cup, later on, as we progress through Matthew, he's going to say, God, is there any way that I don't have to drink this cup? Christ himself prayed that prayer. And these guys are like, oh, yeah, you know, I can do that. Ain't no big deal. Or their mother is, because, you know, she's got high hopes. But the point being is, whatever you're striving for in the flesh, and listen, I'm not saying that God doesn't give us dreams, things to do, position. I mean, God's been very good to me. But here's the deal. That's not where your peace is. Your peace is in him. Walking, living, existing, breathing. Remember Yahweh, the word Yahweh. Is the closest translation. Breath of God. Being his. Trusting him with your past, your present, and your future. A position's not going to get it, even though this would have been quite the position. Wow. You know, aim high. That was the old Air Force saying. Aim high, you know, because the I always say shoot low. I think they're running Shetlands, but anyway, okay. So 2 Timothy is the second half of our text this morning. You go, oh, great, you got two texts, that means twice as long. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlists him as a soldier. And also anyone who competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. This word endure, when you look at the Greek, it means you must therefore share hardship. I don't really like that translation, but that don't change the truth of it. Okay. And is the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide suffering? Yes. We have some people in our congregation this morning that are suffering, some that are grieving this morning. And he says these words, you must share hardship as a good soldier. And what have we got our minds on? What is our focus on? Are we good servants? Are we being soldiers? And of course, this first point, we just pray the Lord's Prayer. We pray every week. But in that prayer, it says, Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done. When I was in the military, we've got some other people here that were in the military. It's not that you weren't important. You were important. You had a job. You were essential. But you didn't make a lot of decisions about what you were going to do on a day-to-day basis. You had a role to play. You had many times written directions, but if not, then it would be verbal directions right then. And they didn't expect you to say, well, you know, I just got these boots and I really didn't want to get them dirty. I worked on these boots all night last night. Now you might think that. No, I'm serious. You might very well think, oh, great, right? But here's the deal. What we did is we obeyed the orders that we were given. And I'm not talking about getting into legalism and all this. What I'm talking about is hearing the voice of God. And we pray these words, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, guys, serving one another always brings me right here. Go to the garden in your head. We're not going to read it. Go to the garden. Adam and Eve, they're there. And what happens when sin enters in? One part of the curse is that one is put over the other. Up until that point, they were sharing. Remember what it says? It says literally, your sorrow will be multiplied in pain and the desire and longing for your husband, and he will rule over you because of this curse. And you go, wait a minute, Bruce, what does that mean? What it means is when we pray these words, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, I'm gonna tell you something. There's in heaven, there's somebody in charge. And nobody's going, no, I ain't. Okay, they said that's not happening. Okay, it's already happened once, and there was a fall that happened because of that. Okay, with the enemy and then the fall of man. But here's the deal. Literally, guys, he has called us to serve one another, and what we somehow in our culture now, it's about everybody needs to serve me. And as I read this, I was convicted, and we got to preach it, unfortunately, because it's the truth. But, and then Adam, in other words, up until then, I'm hungry. You go over to the tree and pull it off her and eat it, right? It was a garden, and he grew back. It was enough, right? But ever since, I mean, I've worked for, let's see, now that I'm almost 30, several years. Nobody ever laughs when I say that. They don't even think it's funny anymore. But with a little shipping and handling, I guess is a better way to say it. But, I mean, I've worked for many, many years, you know, and I've never had a job that they just said, I'll just stay home and, you know, watch cable, and I will just send you a check, right? I'm looking for that job. No. But the point being is this, guys. We also received that work, and that's the curse. But when we pray, let the kingdom come and your will be done, then what happens is we all become soldiers and servants of the Most High God, which then makes us soldiers and servants for one another. Does that make sense? Okay. So, yeah, we need somebody to be in charge of checkbook, pay the bills. I mean, you know, little organization, I don't know much about it, but it never hurts anything. Okay. So, Luke, I guess maybe the best picture of this, or one of the clearest pictures of this, is Luke chapter 22. If you got your Bibles, Luke 22 and 24. But there was also rivalry among them as which should be considered the greatest. Well, you know, it's this denomination, it's this speaker, it's this thing, it's this belief process, it's these people, it's this political party, it's this. Who's the greatest? Well, you know. And he said to them, the kings and the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. To the contrary, who is greatest among you, let him be the younger. Who governs is he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? In other words, he's saying, if you show up and they're serving you, who is greater, the one who's being served or the ones who serve him? Yet I'm among you as the one who serves. He's saying, look at me. I am the example. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials and bestow upon a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed upon you, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit in thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What he's saying is this. Watch me. And we're going to continue to watch him as we go through this series. Watch me and see the way that I do things. Because, guys, it's not our nature. You guys understand what I'm saying? It's not our nature. Some of us are more servants than others, but when it, you know, if you've never seen anybody really mad, make a servant mad. Because, you know, anyway. John 13 and 1, that's a whole nother, that's, we're talking about motive gifts there. We'll do that again another time. John 13 and 1. Now the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, now this is right after the Passover. This is right after he initiated communion. The devil having, he rose from supper, after supper being ended, the devil having already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to his hands and what he had come from God, that he had come from God and was going to God, this is what he did. Verse 4. He rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel whom he was girded. And when he called to Simon Peter, when he came to Simon Peter, Peter said, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered him, what I'm doing now you don't understand, but you will know after this. And Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. Because I'm going to tell you something. This is not a joke. I like to have a good time. But I have been at a foot washing before several times. And it takes humility to allow someone to wash your feet. It's hard. It's hard. And I want to tell you that he says, what I'm doing, you don't understand. And he says, you'll never do this. And he answered, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. In other words, if you can't come on board with the fact, see, this concept is so deep that you can't be saved unless you're willing to receive the sacrifice that someone else did. Does that make sense? You can't save yourself. Some of y'all are pretty good, some of you ain't. But the truth is that neither one of y'all saved yourself. And I can tell you, on my best day, when I've got things lined up pretty much like they should be, my rightness is as filthy rags. There's nothing to brag about. Okay? Anything that God does good, anything that comes out of me good or happens good, it's the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit. It's something that he's done. But the point being is this. He literally, guys, he says, you have no part with me if I can't wash you. And I want to tell you, the older I get, the more I study, the more I pray, the more time I spend in his presence, I realize that salvation, like David said, salvation belongs to the Lord. And you go to him to get that, if you take it on his. On his terms. And if you come to him this morning, you say, yeah, man, I gave this and I did that and I no longer do this and I do this. Hey, it matters what you do. You know, right? The things that you do today have spiritual, physical, mental consequences of the rest of the day. When I'm nice to people, this is not a joke. When I'm nice to people, it has spiritual fruit. When I'm ugly to people, it has spiritual fruit. It has physical fruit. It has, and I want to tell you, it does matter what we do. But when Simon Peter found out to be part of salvation, to be part of this, that you had to have your feet washed, he said, hey, not just my feet, I'm all in. Is that what it says? He says, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. And he said, who is bathed only needs to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. And he knew that Judas would betray him. And that's why he said that you're not all clean. The third point I'm going to hit this morning, and I'm not going to hit it, but it'll take, it's laying right there in front of me. These guys are saying, well, you know, I want to sit on your right, I want to sit on your left. So, you know, they're not perfect either. And then you got the guy there who is in the active part of betraying him. And he serves him. He serves him communion. He serves him, washes his feet. And listen, this ain't like me that I got the gift of suspicion and I may be suspicious something's happening. No, God knew it. He knew it. He's God. Which is a whole other circle we'll try to stay out of, except the fact that he chooses to love those who are unlovable, and he still does. If you think that you're bringing him your righteousness and that's why you love me, because listen, do the best you can, because I mean, we've already said that, but the circumstances, the consequences, you know, we're running out of bail money here, but the point being is literally, guys, it matters, but really, the point is he is the washer and we are the ones who are being washed. And then he's saying these words. Hey, in the world, that makes you important and me not important. But in my kingdom, the servants are what's important. Does that make sense? And that he's literally saying that. And he's washing people that don't deserve it. And so when he washed their feet, taking his garments, he sat back down again. He said, Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, so am I. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet, for I've given you as an example that you should do as I've done unto you. Most assuredly, I say unto you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And I want to tell you something. When you focus on yourself all the time, you're miserable. You are. And I'm going to tell you that I have read this outside of the Word of God. I have read studies about it outside of the Word of God, where literally they take people who are just at the end of the rope, we'll just put it like that, and they take them and assign them a duty to take care of this person over here that needs help. And what happens is something, when the focus comes off of yourself and you begin to serve that person, that they literally, I'm not talking about Christianity, I'm talking about nature. What happens is our nature begins to take the focus off of ourselves, and guess what? This becomes better. Literally, I have told people before, I said, you need to start visiting people in nursing homes. You need to start doing this. And I want to tell you something. You say, oh, you know, but what happens is when that focus gets off of you and poor, poor, pitiful me, what happens is your mood, your life gets better. It's a spiritual principle, but it's also nature itself. So He is literally washing the feet of the traitor around him. And guys, we are literally in a time when nobody wants to be a servant. Nobody wants to be a soldier. It's all about us. And I'm guilty. I'm guilty. And that's why I'm preaching this today. Because it's the word, it's the truth, and it's also where we're at in Matthew. And I saw it in my life as I began to study this, and I thought, you know what? It's time to knock the head off of this. And just one more little thing on the end, and I've said it 2 weeks in a row. The reason that I'm preaching here in this position in the church, which is not up in the pulpit, look at me, look at me. The reason I've moved down here is because I want our focus to be right there. And I don't know if you ever noticed this with this church or not. And I have no idea if it was on purpose. I promise, I don't know. But when they redid this church, I think in the 80s, would that be when they did this paneling up here, maybe 90s? 80s, okay. So this church is designed as a cross. You come up here, this is a cross. Then up there, there's a cross. When you look behind that, there's the cross. When you move over, there's another cross. When you move over, there's another cross. When you move over, can you see that? Amen. I'll never forget when I'm sitting out there waiting on my turn, whenever it was, and I saw that 20 or 15 years ago. And I want to tell you guys, it's, and then when you move down here, it's another cross. And you move over, it's level after level after level. And I'm going to tell you something. If we forget the cross, amen, we've just become another Boys and Girls Club, you know, whatever. And it is about him. It is about the cross. And he is calling us to be servants to him, to each other, and soldiers, and to fight this good fight of faith. And remember who we're fighting, okay? We're not fighting each other. Amen. My job is not to straighten you out. Amen. My job, my enemy, is powers and principalities in high places. Yes. And I'm gonna tell you what gets their attention is some things don't happen except by fasting and prayer. You remember that? You know I'm talking about the word here. And guys, I wanna tell you, we're not fighting the whatever church, other church, or this people don't do this, or they don't do it like we do it. Of course, we are absolutely right, but you know, whatever. Sometimes, even a blind hog finds an acre every once in a while. So, every squirrel has a nut. But anyway, so here's the deal. We'll close on this. I want us just to examine ourselves and say, what is our focus? Is our focus in the mirror? Is our focus in just, Lord bless me, we and us, and don't worry about the rest of them? Or are we becoming the soldiers and the servants of the Most High God? Father, I want to serve you. And Lord, I have, with varying degrees of tenacity and success. But Lord, I want to be the man you called me to be. And if you hear this morning, if it's ringing true to you, just pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord, let me be the servant you've called me to be. Let me be the soldier you've called me to be. It's not about me. It's about you and what you've called us to be and to do. So, Father, I pray that you bless these people, keep them, let your light shine on them, and give them peace. And if you don't know the Lord this morning, I just want to put this out on the end. I want to tell you, call on the name of the Lord. He is listening. Say, Lord, I need a Savior. You are God. Save me. And just like if you are drowning and a boat comes by, and somebody reaches down and pulls you out, he will save you. And you can get in the boat with the rest of us crazy sailors in the gospel ship. So, Lord, bless them today. Help us, oh Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thanks for watching.